As a business owner of an aquaculture company, how can you take the first step to be profitable and sustainable at the same time? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. Hello, and welcome to the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This is the podcast for the sustainable business movement in the aqua farming and ocean ranching industries. This podcast aims to amplify the voices of entrepreneurs addressing the United Nations Global Goals, aka Sustainable Development Goals number 14, to conserve and sustainably use the oceans and the seas. Listen in to fellow business aquaculturists in their journey in this new model of food production, of making their business sustainable and help the ocean's ecology while also making a profit all at the same time. Get inspired to learn how even small to medium businesses can make an impact to save the seas, leave a legacy, and have a better quality of life. One of our goals is you take away a nugget of wisdom that will help your business move from the Industrial Revolution to Business 5.0. Our vision is that of collaboration in the aquaculture industry. I'm Lourdes Gant, your host. As an aquaculture business, how do you do research and artificial intelligence incorporated in your business? This episode is dedicated to answering that question. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. If you listen to episode 3, we discussed aquaculture nutrition with Stephanie Colombo. Welcome to episode 4, season 3 of The Business of Aquaculture. This episode, I'm interviewing Eric Enotam, who is the co-founder and CEO of This Fish Inc., a Vancouver-based software and AI company for the seafood industry. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure. So let's get this show rolling. How did you get into the industry?
Well, I'm actually born and raised on the west coast of Vancouver Island. So I was born in Tofino, raised in Euclid in that commercial fishing family that goes back to the 1920s out on the coast. My great uncle actually immigrated from Newfoundland in the 1920s to Vancouver Island. So my family goes back generations in the seafood industry.
Oh, wow. I have these two categories of guests on the podcast. One that's just got into an accident being in the industry, and one is like your story. And it's like there's a whole generation that's paved the way for you, which is fantastic. It makes our industry interesting.
Absolutely.
So why don't you share with our audience, what's one thing you can recommend for business aquaculturists that can make a big difference in the organization when they're on their way to having technology incorporated in their operations?
In the seafood industry in general, I would say we're probably a little bit behind in terms of digitization, but I would say that's maybe more true around some of the wild capture fisheries. I think that the aquaculture industry is a little bit farther along in terms of digital strategies, and in particular, the application of artificial intelligence. But you know, I think for any business, it's really about getting your data into a digital format, because it's not until it's in a digital format can you really analyze and use it for business intelligence or for artificial intelligence. So I think the first step really for any company is to get your data in a digital format. And, you know, I always recommend to start small. The one thing that I found working with a lot of seafood companies that haven't used a lot of software and aren't very digital in their operations is there's lots of learning that goes along. And so taking small steps and learning as you go and being kind of agile is, I think, the way to go. So it doesn't mean you need to drop $1 million on a big IT project. In fact, that's probably more likely to fail. You know, take some small steps, look at what your priorities are. And, you know, for aquaculture, it's really about where are your biggest costs? Is your biggest cost in feed? If you're land-based, it might be energy. It may be around animal health. So I would just focus on where your cost centers are, try to get that data into a digital format and take it from there.
I really like that. You anticipated what I was going to ask next. I was going to ask what would be like the top 3 to 5 that you think they can start with data. So I love what you mentioned about prioritizing probably the biggest costs. And so if you have like a new client that you take on, other than the costs that they need to look at, and I love also that you categorize in terms of it, whether that's energy, whether that's feed, or whether that's animal health, where else do you think they need to focus on in terms of what they have to start with in terms of data?
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing obviously is quality. And I mean, that can be related to growth and feed, both the quality of the meat, the actual animal, but also its size. And, you know, size distribution is obviously has a big impact on price. So, I mean, I would say that, you know, that would be another area of focus in terms of digitization. But, you know, I think the challenge is how do you collect data on that? And our company, we provide software more for not downstream or upstream, but midstream. So we're at, you know, really focused in on the processing sector. And the one thing that I'm increasingly interested in is a lot of the quality data is actually can't be found at the farm, not necessarily even in the primary processing where they may, you know, bleed out the animal and kill it. It's actually in the secondary processing where you actually fully butcher the fish, taking off yields, looking at size distribution and color. So, you know, I think for me, I think in the future, what will be really interesting is kind of trying to link the aquaculture farm data directly to the factory and to understand what farm practices are leading to better quality that's coming out of the factory. And I think that's true in shrimp and finfish, you know, shellfish.
That's amazing that you mentioned that, because I like specifically when you talked about size distribution. We both have our feet on two industries, fishing, which we're slowly getting away from. And size has been a big component in our industry. We have shellfish and goey duck. The market really likes like 1.8 pounds. And because of the collapsing industry in terms of total allowable catch, there's only smaller animals that are left. So when the market was barraged with just smaller animals, they did have this thinking that maybe there's no more bigger animals, which the market wants, which what I mentioned is 1.8. So when in terms, and color, of course, is a big factor as well, because we're graded A, B, C, depending on the quality of the color of the neck of the shellfish. And so when you were mentioning about quality data, I can't wait to actually implement some of the AI in what you guys are doing, because it's a very important what you mentioned in terms of linkage between the farm data and the factory.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, in aquaculture, the one area where you see a lot of application of AI, it's really around computer vision. And that's basically using cameras or video to take pictures of products or things and then automatically classifying them according to some criteria. So, you know, and a lot in aquaculture, a lot of the cameras are underwater. So it may be taking pictures of fish and classifying them by the number of sea lice that are on them. So that's, you know, one application of artificial intelligence that's and computer vision that's newer. And there's a couple companies mostly based out of Norway that are using computer vision to basically count the number of sea lice and classify them. And lots of AI just on counting fish and the size of fish. So you can kind of automate growth rates, right? So you don't have to pull a fish out of water and manually weigh them to get a sense of the growth weight. You basically use computer vision. So for me, I think the next step is when the fish actually goes into production, can you use computer vision to basically classify the fish fillets by size, by color, also by defects? I know that there's often bruising that happens, or in farmed salmon, there's the scarring from the inoculations and stuff. And it seems to me that the industry doesn't fully understand why this sometimes happens. And I think what's interesting is that if we can link, as I said, that link that farm data to the outcomes, like the scarring from the inoculations, you can maybe determine what practices on the farm are leading to this problem. Or gaping is another one, you know, especially in farm salmon. You know, there might be challenges because of how they're harvested or when they're harvested that leads to, you know, higher amount of gaping in the product.
And you use quite strong words here, because I know there were some sensitivity in terms of, you know, you mentioned about gaping, inoculation, and sea lice and all that other words associated in the aquaculture industry. So my next question is then related to how do you see, I guess you mentioned about computer vision, AI linked to sustainability in terms of seafood?
First and foremost, AI really does kind of three things. It predicts. So there's a lot of prediction in AI. It automates. So you can automate processes. And then you can classify things. So the one thing that is, I think, really important for aquaculture is prediction. Whether this is, for instance, in shellfish or farm fish or especially shrimp, where you have them in ponds, you can probably predict animal health based on water quality. because water quality really drives, right, animal health and disease outbreaks, et cetera. So, you know, if you were able to collect large volume of data on water quality and then tie that to disease outbreaks or other, you know, animal health issues, you could get a better understanding of when you need to intervene to improve water quality. And then if you reduce your mortalities, well, two things will happen. One, maybe the water quality will improve based on farm practices. That's good for the environment. And number two, mortalities will decrease, which will, you know, reduce wastage, which is also good for the industry. The third one I would say also, and this is related to wastage, is a lot of farmers, I think early on, were wasting a lot of feed because it was, you know, feeding was quite manual. It's hard to kind of understand when the fish are actually hungry. And again, this is where AI is used. And I know there are some technology companies out there that are using hydroacoustics, and then others also using computer vision to look at the behavior of the animals to classify maybe when they're hungry. So they can see, oh, at a certain point they're hungry. So then that automates the feeding. And then by reducing the feed wastage, again, that's very, very good for sustainability because the feed to animal conversion ratio will increase, which is good for the bottom line and good for sustainability.
That's great. That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Eric. My biggest takeaway from this episode, and when you were really clear on the uses of AI to predict, to automate, and to classify, that is a really very practical. I think everybody can relate to that, whether it's AI or not. Those are needed in any business. Thanks again. How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with me, just reach out by email at it's eric@this.fish. So eric@this.fish. So yeah, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed the questions.
You're welcome. And it's a pleasure. To our subscribers, we appreciate your time listening to the show. Remember, you help build a home in the Philippines for every episode we launch. See you next week. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. And I hope you are inspired from this episode. Do take a moment and share this with your friends and colleagues and rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway from this conversation has been. What are you going to do differently? Please share your thoughts across social media and tag us. For links and show notes for this episode, visit our website, www.sustainableaquaculture.ca/podcast. Thank you again. I hope you will join me on the next episode, and together we can help create a better business in aquaculture.